The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
As was announced, the topic that inshallah I will be covering will be the cultivation of an Islamic identity in a postmodern era. I say that because sometimes I think our job in the West is to convert the entire street we live on. No, it's not. The tolerance of which Islam preaches is incredible. And that's where I think a lot of my youth don't understand this idea of identity. Identity is not simply to reject everything around you. Not everything in the West is to be thrown out or cursed. There's a lot of beauty in this part of the world that can really help Islam grow. So we have to apply the exact same principles here. There are principles where we live, doesn't matter where you live, in the East or the West, that either we reject, or we redirect, or we use. It's all part of identity building. A few examples. Number one was his migration to Medina. There were existing Jewish tribes there. The Prophet never came in and said, you are to convert to Islam or lose your life. Absolutely not. The beautiful system of the jizya in Islam is a beautiful discussion. One day, someday, we'll have it. The tolerance by which this system now presents itself to other faiths is a lesson for you and I. Please, I ask my youth out there, and so many of you right now are in front of me, and when I pull in to the driveway, I see these guys in the back with their yellow jackets. My salams to you. It's incredible to see this young blood now serving this community. Incredible. But I also know this, that when it comes to Islam, there is some trauma. I have some young guys telling me when they find their voice and they find their himmat and they find their boldness, they tell me, look, I'll be very honest, Sayyid, when it comes to Islam, anything to do with Islam, namaz, fasting, the masjid, mosque, muharram, whatever you name it, I have this pit in my stomach. I have anxiety. You talk about the grave and death, forget it, I'm out. I'll leave the actual hall. You talk about hijab, I'll put my fingers in my ears. True story. Until you're done talking about hijab. Where is that coming from? And yeah, they'll tell me. I had, let's say, for example, a horrible experience growing up when it comes to religion. I had a horrible dinyat Sunday school teacher who just got bad at me because I couldn't figure out which namazes were wajib and which were not. I asked a scholar one day years ago a question and I got him on a bad day. He was a cranky scholar. And he snapped at me. I thought, oh, forget it. I'll never ask a scholar another question again. I enter those doors. I get some auntie now judging me, some uncle judging me, asking me 1,000 questions, fixing my hijab, telling me my beard is too long, my jeans are too tight. Forget it. All these things are there. I'm always told, for example, that the hellfire and the squeezing of the grave and the punishment, right? I've been told since I'm a child of a God of fear, a God of fear, a God of fear. God was the boogeyman inside of my house. God was the bad cop inside of my house. If you don't do this, God will do this to you. That's my picture of Islam. Now at 23, you want me to submit to this? I'm sorry. All legitimate, by the way. Some people might think, oh, boo-hoo, you're coddling today's youth. I'm not. I think those are legitimate discussions. But my question to you is, you're not 9 years old anymore. This is not grade 4 dinyat. You're 23 years old. If you want to erase all that, you can. How? Seek. Seek out the religion. A statement I mentioned out on Medley about a couple hours ago, seekers will seek. And the deen is a deen to be sought after. And the amount of things that are there for all of you now to capture and grab and rebuild your deen is incredible. Never happened when I was your age in this city. My father would tell me that, you know, we had so many questions about the deen, there was no avenue to ask. If I asked one or two questions to an alim, they would summon my father. It's kutamisa kawya. How dare he ask me a question? Baba, he's curious. No. Now, anywhere, everywhere, picking up food at Costco, I get stopped. True story. I love it, by the way. I was looking at some cantaloupe, and I had a tap on my shoulder, and they asked me, "Are you Asr Jafri?" Yes, I am. This is what I love. This. I have a small question. I said, "Okay." I have a halka sawal, as they say, halka. It's all, and these are discussions about, like, you know, free will and predestination and things that require an ashra of majalis. I'm like, look, let's pick out the cantaloupe and we'll discuss as we go towards the cashews and the almonds, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So it's important that we understand that if you are now somebody in this hall right now, online, out in the in the women's hall, that has this trauma, I get it. I'm not downplaying that at all. But fix it now. Some ulama out there right now are doing incredible work with incredible organizations, putting together packages of durus and animations and podcasts. I mean, incredible work that I benefit from. Now there's no reason that you can't remove that pit out of your stomach. So the first example is the example of arriving in Medina. He doesn't say to the Jewish tribes, convert, convert. No, he doesn't. To me, the most beautiful lesson, one of them at least, is the way that the Prophet welcomed the Christians of Najran. To the point where even some ashab were saying, "Are you sure, Ya Rasulullah?" They came. He said, "Look, we don't have a place to stay here in Medina, and we need a place to worship our God." And the Prophet gave them his mosque to worship. "Come in, you can stay here at the mosque, you can worship." And they worshiped in their own way. And there was no one there. The companions would come and say, "Ya Rasul, these are Christians in our mosque." No problem. You talk about things like, for example, the example of Imam Khomeini, who was in France, exiled to France. They say that, you know, one year it was the Eid of Adha, Eid al-Qurban, and his companions now, or, you know, those who were with him now, had said to him, "Agha, let's sacrifice an animal in the backyard here where you're staying." It was against the law in France to do that without some sort of permit or some permission. And right away, Imam Khomeini says, "No, it's against the law here in France." I'm trying to build a few, you know. So bear with me in these next few nights. It's important that we lay out this foundation so I can build on that foundation. Imam Khomeini says, "No." There is a whole respect of the law of the land that the fiqh has. If that wasn't enough, we talk about the idea that the Prophet not only gave his mosque for worship, but he gave them to stay there as well. One thing that I think gets lost in the event of Mubahila, and I'll move on from Mubahila, is that the aftermath of Mubahila, that treaty that they signed was an incredible treaty. A beautiful, that simply isn't discussed enough. That was broken later on, post-Prophet of Allah, by the second Khalifa. It was broken by him. But the Prophet had said, "Look, these are people who will live, they'll pay the tax, and we are in charge of their security. Nobody is to hurt them. No one is to attack them. They can worship as they wish." My point is, Islam was never about an all or nothing mentality. Islam never said to arrive in a certain location and convert the entire world. I think sometimes we have that same notion when it comes to Imam Zamana, that he's going to come and convert everyone to Shia. Pura Jahan Joy Shia. No, that's not how it's going to work. I'm sorry. The very role of Nabi Isa is to go and work with the Christians to revive the asal teachings of the deen. My point is, an Islamic identity is a tolerant identity. An accepting identity, one that works with other faiths.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali. حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صادق صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.